So just to overview the entire connections paradigm, again, as we've done each time we start a new session, a new module, that is. So this seminar is predicated on a spiritually based paradigm for understanding human emotion. And that paradigm is called the worlds of connection and disconnection. This is back in the introduction handout. And there's the summary of the paradigm, the worlds of connection and disconnection paradigm, is as follows: that at any moment in time, human beings dwell in one of two worlds. We're either in the world of connection or the world of disconnection. And now that you've gone through two of the modules, I think there's an increased sensitivity and an understanding of what this means. At any moment in time, our body and our soul are either getting along or they're operating independently. At any moment in time, we're either thinking about and in the world of other people and ready to take care of other people, or we're thinking about ourselves. And to some degree, it's not binary the way I said it. It's really more dimensional. There's an extent to which we are in the world of connection or the world of disconnection. But the bottom line is that these are really two polar opposites, and we can dwell in either one of those. And we can choose to dwell in the world of connection. And what is connection? That's the second point. It involves the coming together of two opposite pairs. And that occurs in three central domains, as we know. There's body and soul, which is the inner connection, the world of inner connection. There's us and other people, which is the world of interpersonal connection. And then there's us and God, the spiritual connection, which we're going to be speaking about today and then the following four sessions. And disconnection, the world of disconnection, is a separation or an estrangement of those entities, of body and soul, when the two are not getting along, when body is not listening to the soul or being a good student, and when the soul is not taking care of the body as a teacher and a coach would, when there's that interpersonal disconnection of us and other people, when we're not getting along, when we're not out to take care of other people, and or we are disconnecting from them through various means that we spoke about the last 2 weeks. And then finally, spiritual disconnection that we'll speak about today in coming sessions. Another point in the connections paradigm is that at each level of connection, there's a giver and a receiver. Connection occurs when one entity provides for another, and the other, in turn, receives the gifts. And we saw that in inner connection that the body was receiving gifts from the soul and receiving guidance and also receiving gifts. And the soul recognizes that its job is not to control the body, but to provide for it. And with us and other people, our goal is to provide for them, but also to receive from them when that connection, interpersonal connection, calls for that in order to create a relationship and connection with them. And furthermore, not to disconnect from them, not to stop or interrupt the flow of giving or receiving. And with us and God, we'll speak about. We also talked about the fact that these are hierarchical levels, that our relationship with God is constrained by our relationship with others and our relationship with ourselves. And the relationship that we have with others, our interpersonal connection, that level is constrained by our relationship with ourselves. You can only have as much relationship and connection with another person as you have between body and soul. And if you don't have a relationship between body and soul and with other people, then it's going to be very difficult the next four sessions to be able to do it for reasons that we will explain. And finally, the final point of the connections paradigm is that the experiences of mental distress, whether that's anxiety or depression, whether it's stress or otherwise, those occur when people are in a state of disconnection. Sometimes people are, you know, stress is a bit of a tricky one, because sometimes it's stressful to sit with distress or to take care of other people and not to disconnect from them. But on the whole and in general, and certainly over time, anxiety and depression and other symptoms occur when people are disconnected. And by contrast, living in the world of connection is the path away from fear. Living in the world of connection is what life is about. And it's been said, Revolba wrote this actually, who wrote this connections paradigm, is that there's the worlds of connection and disconnection can also be known as the worlds of love and fear. That connection and disconnection are opposites, and so too love and fear are opposites. So that's a review of the connections paradigm, which you've heard before, but hopefully with a greater degree of understanding now. And then I think we're going to go through it one more time at the beginning of session 16. Okay, just to introduce the concept of spiritual connection, before we discuss the structure of it, the structure being what are the four elements, main elements of spiritual connection that we're going to be doing in this seminar, a couple of preliminary comments really need to be made. Comment number one. You'll recall that when we talked about interpersonal connection, that it's actually easier to describe than interconnection. And the reason why is because interconnection requires a very elaborate discussion and weeks of work just to identify what's the body and what's the soul and how do they communicate with each other. And when I'm speaking, is it my body speaking? Is it my soul speaking? Are they speaking to each other? How are they speaking to each other? Who's the body? Who's the soul? Some people still might be struggling with that after now 8 weeks of work, 10 weeks of work. But interpersonal connection, it's easier to describe because it's fundamentally quite simple. It's just taking care of others and not disconnecting from them when they cause us irritation and anger. So continuing with this trend, as we ascend in terms of the connections paradigm to spiritual connection, you're going to find, believe it or not, that this is even easier to describe than interpersonal connection. It's actually the easiest paradigm to understand intellectually. Interconnection is much harder to understand intellectually than interpersonal connection, which is also harder to understand intellectually than spiritual connection. However, you might also recall that interpersonal connection was harder to fulfill. It's much harder to facilitate than interconnection. And that's for a couple of reasons. Firstly, you have a lot of control, or more control anyway, over your body and your soul versus other people. You sometimes have no control, many times, in fact, almost always have zero real control over another person's behavior. So interpersonal connection involves connecting to somebody else who you don't have control over. That's hard. It's not all within your power. But a second and more fundamental point, though, is that interpersonal connection, it's very scary because you have to give up your control and you have to be vulnerable because other people might not do what you want. And as we saw in the world of interpersonal connection, we were speaking about it, especially last session and the session before, sessions 8 and 9, that remaining committed and remaining connected to people when they don't do what we want, that's at the crux of interpersonal connection, and it means that we're kind of stuck. We're really at people's mercy, which is hard. So similarly, when it comes to spiritual connection, it's actually even harder. It's harder to put into practice even than interpersonal connection. In many ways, the world of interconnection is the easiest to implement because it's not as scary and it's fully within our control, and those two facts are related. And when it comes to spiritual connection, though, it's completely out of our control and extremely vulnerable, as we'll talk about. So spiritual connection, the connection between us and God, is actually deceptively simple because it's easier to describe than anything else that we've talked about, but please don't make a mistake. This is the most advanced module that we're going to be completing in this program, and it really is an advanced module. If you're just signing on now to do the spiritual connection, or if you've sort of fast-forwarded it through the interconnection and interpersonal connection modules and said, okay, I really just want this connection with God business, so that's what I really want spiritual growth. And all this stuff between me and other people and me and myself, like, it's nice, you know, body and soul and us and others, but, like, really ultimately I want a relationship which is spiritual, then do yourself a favor and pause the tape now and go back and hear the seminars again on interconnection and interpersonal connection, and then once you've done them again, then come back, because it is tricky what we're going to do in the coming weeks. Okay, that's preliminary comment number one. Here's comment number two. This is not a philosophy class. I hope you've seen this from the beginning, that the goal here is not only to emerge from the connections program with a clearer conceptual understanding of who are we and what's our relationship with others supposed to be. The idea is to change. And it's to change using behavioral approaches, as well as changing our cognitive perspectives, our perspectives and our understanding, our values and our understanding conceptually. So too, when it comes to spiritual connection, when it comes to our connection with God, the idea is not just to have a better understanding of God, a better understanding of the universe, and to have a spiritually uplifting experience. I think you will have a spiritually uplifting experience, but I don't think it's in the way that most people think. We're going to bump into some philosophy. We will have some concepts throughout the module, because the connections paradigm does make some assumptions about the nature of God and the nature of the universe and what's our role, and we're going to go through that. That material will be presented. But just as we've emphasized throughout the program, the goal here is not just to understand, it's to build connection. It's really to have a relationship. It's about having a sense of connection and a sense of connecting to, I don't know what else to call it, with body and soul, with others. It's an experience. That's the point. The point is that it's an experience of connection. It's not only an intellectual understanding. And the goal here is to have an experience with God, to live with God. We are striving here not only to increase our understanding, but to increase our connection, our intimacy, our closeness with spirituality, nothing more and nothing less. So it's not only about philosophy. It's not only about a rational understanding of God. It's about having a relationship with God. And it's possible to that end that some people might come in with very strong backgrounds in spirituality and religion. They might have studied philosophy and theology. They might have studied religion. They might have done years of study in religious institutions. And those people might have an easier time building spiritual connection, because they have somewhat of an understanding of the concepts. But if, from my experience, I've actually found that such individuals sometimes have a harder time building spiritual connection, because it's not only about the understanding that they've been taught for their lives. It's about having a relationship. I've also seen, fascinatingly, I've seen many people who lack spiritual and religious knowledge almost entirely, and they'll come into this module and they'll actually do extremely well, because they're not coming in with a previous experience of looking at religion as a philosophy. They're really just trying to have a relationship and a connection with God, and that's who does well in this module. The critical ingredient here, in other words, is not how much you know. It's whether you want to have a connection. Do you want and long to have a desire and a connection with something spiritual? At the end of the day, yes, there is material to know, and after 4 sessions or 5 sessions, I'm hoping you'll be able to pass a quiz on what is spiritual connection. But at the end of the day, I don't really care what your score is. What I would really like to see is for people to come through this module and to feel more connected and to live more of a godly life, to have a more palpable sense of what it means to have a relationship and intimacy with God. So if you want spiritual connection, then you come to the right place. There are steps that we can take to achieve it, regardless of where you're currently holding with your faith, regardless of where you're holding with your understanding, regardless of your philosophy. There are things that you can do to move forward, and that's what this module is about. Okay. Excuse me. Talk about the structure of spiritual connection. What are we going to be doing in this module? What are we going to be doing over the next couple weeks? Okay. Well, spiritual connection has, pretty simple. There are just 2 components to it. 2 components. There's experiencing God's presence in our lives. Experiencing, not just thinking about, but experiencing God's presence in our lives. And then there's fulfilling God's will. Service is the second one, and experience is the first. Each of those modules break down into 2 subcomponents, and we're going to spend 2 sessions on experiencing God's presence and 2 sessions on fulfilling God's will. So I want to discuss each of these concepts of experiencing God's presence and fulfilling God's will. What's experiencing God's presence? This is a lot deeper than faith. Experiencing the presence of something spiritual involves having a palpable sense with our emotions, harnessing our emotions to recognize and to feel that God is intimately involved in running the world in general and our daily affairs in particular. The idea is to recognize that there is something behind the wall, and we are not alone, ever. Not in our general sense and not in a specific sense. Needless to say, there are so many facets to the experience of God's presence. There are many more facets, in fact, to this aspect of spiritual connection than we're going to be able to cover in just two sessions, of course. But in this program, we're going to focus on the two most important subparts. The subparts are as follows. Recognizing that human beings have a limited scope of control. This is going to be the topic of our next session, session 11. That human beings have a very limited scope of control. They have some control, but it's extremely, extremely limited. And that's necessary in order to experience the presence of God, to have a sense of how ultimately powerless we are. And another aspect is recognizing God's order and design in the world. Recognizing that, like I said before, there is something behind the wall. There is an order and a design. There's a purpose. Things happen for a reason. That raises a lot of philosophical questions, and we are going to get to those, believe it or not, in session 12. In fact, we're going to spend, like I mentioned, one full session on each of these, recognizing that, did I get the numbers wrong? I think we're actually in session 11 today. I got the numbers wrong. I'm sorry, everyone. In session 12, we're going to be focusing on recognizing that human beings have a limited scope of control. And in session 13, we're going to be focusing on recognizing the order and design in the world. Sessions 12 and 13. Today we're in session 11. Sorry, I was behind myself. Okay. Each of those is going to help us pay attention, though. The idea isn't just to have a greater sense of philosophy. It's to help us pay attention to signals and cues in nature, in history, and in our experience that can facilitate spiritual connection, to have a palpable sense that God is right here. And I want to clarify it just one more time. The purpose here is the purpose of recognizing and discussing our limited scope of control and God's order and design, it's to have an experience which is a spiritual experience. The aim here is to develop our connection and our sense that we have a relationship with God and we can have a relationship with God, and that relationship is interactive and very personalized, just like any other relationship. The other major aspect of spiritual connection, like I mentioned, is called fulfilling God's will. Just as experiencing God's presence is not about faith, fulfilling God's will is not about religious doctrine or culture. The goal here is not to become more religious. Now, sometimes there might be certain religious or traditional aspects of fulfilling God's will, some things that we might not be doing yet that we might want to take on. But sometimes fulfilling God's will might even, and this is going to sound heretical, but at least give me the benefit of the doubt until sessions 14 and 15 to judge me. But sometimes it might even involve, quote-unquote, contravening a religious doctrine or a culture. And we're going to see exactly what that means down the line. The point here is not just to take a party approach. And what I mean by a party isn't like, music and dancing. What I mean by it was more like a political party. It's not to take a political approach to religion. The point is having a sense that we're here to fulfill the will of God. I mentioned it before, the word is service. And sometimes that is consistent with what groups of individuals do, and sometimes it isn't. Let me tell you a bit more about what this is. Fulfilling God's will is about entering a relationship with God. It's about connecting to God. And it specifically is about doing that by committing to do whatever we assess that God wants us to do. To say, here I am, I'm ready. And it's scary. It's a scary thing to be at the ready of the King of the universe and ready to do whatever it takes, whatever is necessary. But it is exhilarating and it makes life worthwhile, as I think you will see. Now, how do we determine what God wants us to do? Well, we're going to talk about that, and it's a long discussion. We're going to talk about it in session 14, about developing a godly vision. How do we develop a godly vision for ourselves? How do we understand what is our purpose in the universe? That is going to be a discussion in session 14, and I hope you'll find it to be, I was going to say enlightening, but it's a bad word, right? I hope you'll find it to be not only enlightening, but practical and inspiring. But furthermore, fulfilling God's will isn't only, I mentioned this before, it's not only a matter of spiritual activity or spirituality. I'm going to say, this is going to sound interesting, even an atheist could agree that it's a good thing to do whatever we think is, you know, good in the world, to provide food and clothing to people in need, to find cures for diseases, to support the optimal functioning in the world. And all of those activities, sometimes which are very mundane, can be a tremendous context to develop spiritual connection, but we have to have the right mindset. The problem with atheism for developing spiritual connection isn't it's not the activities. Building the hospitals and feeding the sick and taking care of people, feeding the hungry, amen. All of that could be great in terms of the actual behavior. The issue is the mindset. Is one having in mind that the activities that they're doing day to day are in the service of God? And that's where it's hard for an atheist to have spiritual connection. But anyhow, moving on, there is developing a godly vision, like I mentioned, which is recognizing our capacity for greatness, that what you're able to achieve, nobody else in all of history could have ever achieved. We're going to speak about this at length. And thinking about what God might want us to do, given your unique talents, your unique gifts, committing to that divine responsibility. And there's another aspect, though, of the second part, fulfilling God's will, which is called exerting heroic efforts for God. That's going to be session 15, which is doing our best to fulfill God's will by using all of the resources that we have and pushing ourselves to the max. Now, with all this information about experiencing God's presence and fulfilling God's will, I hope it's pretty clear why spiritual connection is the most difficult. But just let me spell it out very clearly. Most people who have a spiritual bent to them, they're good at either one or the other. They're either good at experiencing God's presence or they're good at fulfilling God's will. It's very, 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 very difficult to do both well, though. And this is because the more we experience God's presence, the more we have a sense that God is here and taking care and that we don't have a sense of control because we have a limited scope of control and ultimately things happen for a reason which is beyond us. The more somebody believes that, the harder it is for them to exert efforts to produce change in the world. The harder it is for them to envision themselves as an essential part of creation, as an essential element, as something that actually has a divine, specific divine purpose. And furthermore, the more that somebody is exerting heroic efforts and has a vision and a purpose and they're seeing that they have gifts and talents and that they're here to do something and they're pushing themselves to the max, the harder it is to experience God's presence and to recognize and to accept that ultimately we have such a limited scope of control and someone else is running the show. So the more clear our vision is and the more we exert heroic efforts is, the harder it is to relinquish control. And the more we relinquish control and we recognize God's role in daily affairs, the harder it is to put in efforts. So in practice, this is extremely difficult to walk the walk of both. But that is what spiritual connection is about. It's about recognizing and feeling God day to day while kicking ourselves into gear. Not in order to really achieve anything, but in order to fulfill the word of God, in order to fulfill our purpose in this world. Now, I'd like to introduce the exercise. All of these concepts, by the way, I'm just giving you an overview. Remember, today is an overview session. And all of these concepts we're going to go over in the coming sessions, sessions 12, 13, 14, and 15. Now, seeing that spiritual connection, here's your exercise. Seeing that it's such a challenge to master, We need some pretty serious tools in order to pull it off, to inculcate a perspective that we are responsible and we have an opportunity to do our job. We each have a job in this world, and it's our job to do it, despite the fact that God ultimately runs the show, despite the fact that there is an infinite being behind the wall controlling everything. Can we engage in day-to-day mundane activities and recognize that we have a job to do? So here's an exercise that's designed to have a sense of reliance upon God while we're engaging in day-to-day activities. And that's the goal of the exercise. A, to have a greater awareness that God is present in our lives, and B, to have an awareness that we are responsible to be active players in God's world, to be active players in a world that it ultimately doesn't really matter whether we're active because God's in charge. But the reason it matters is because we have a job to do, not because it's going to have an effect. Here's the exercise. Pick a simple activity that you engage in on a daily basis. And it should be something that any intelligent secular person with no spiritual background would be confident that he or she could complete for very quote-unquote natural reasons. I'll give you some examples. Turning on a light switch. There's no reason to think that if you flip a light switch, the light shouldn't go on. Or picking up a telephone to dial somebody, to dial a number. Or going in an elevator. Okay, that's a little bit more complicated because they can break sometimes, but bottom line is when you get into an elevator, 99.99, even more percent of the time, they work. Or twisting off the cap of a bottle. There's no reason to think that the cap shouldn't turn into a nice cap separate from the bottle. Whatever the activity is, something that's really mundane and pretty simple. And as you engage in that activity, something that you can do on a daily basis, envision for a moment that God and not nature is facilitating the completion. When you turn on the light switch, think for a moment that it's not that you connected a circuit which created an electrical current, enabled the electrical current to pass through the circuit, which then conducted electricity to the filament in the light bulb. Actually, it's usually not filaments anymore because they're all like CFLs, but whatever is going on, exciting the gas in the light bulb and making the particles move, which creates the sense, the experience of light, which signs off your retina, that kind of thing. Think that that is all occurring because of God. Every single step in the way is occurring because God wants it to occur. Imagine that God and not nature is intimately involved in the activity from start to finish. And without direct assistance or intervention, that call cannot be completed. The bottle cap will not come off. The elevator, well, maybe we don't even want to go there. But bottom line is that nothing can occur, even these mundane basic activities, without God. But at the same time, flip the switch, turn the cap, press the button for the elevator, dial the number, exert whatever efforts you can to engage in the activity. But the idea here is not to just rely on God, but to be an active participant in the process. Why? Because, and we'll talk about this in the sessions 14 and 15, because that is a way of engaging with God. That is a path to spiritual connection, is engaging actively in the world. I'll give you a couple more examples. I gave you the light switch one. Here's another example. Try to rely on God that the next time you stand up, that your body will be able to rise. And as you exert an effort to stand, trust that God, not your ligaments and your muscles, are enabling everything to accomplish the task of getting out of the chair. Or the next time you use a pen, people don't really use pens anymore. Now everything's electronic. But I don't know if you know what a pen is. It's like this little stick, and it's got ink in it. I'm just kidding. I hope you know what a pen is. But next time you use a pen, envision that God will help you to write as you desire. As you press down onto the paper, trust that it's God who's enabling the ink to flow and to stain the paper in the manner that you want it to. A couple of points here. Firstly, if none of these examples speak to you, you can come up with your own. It can be turning on your car. It can be really anything you do day to day. But it has to be something that you have every scientific or natural reason to believe that it's going to work out. Another point here is that the greatest difficulty in relying on God is that we have to recognize that God is making everything happen after we've made all the efforts. It's a test. The whole thing is a test. After we have every natural reason to believe that things are going to work out, can we think and feel, can we muster up a sense that God is behind it all? If I know that my pen works, that's the ultimate test. I can conjure up and experience that God is enabling the pen to work, even though I have every natural reason for it to occur. That's the goal here. Another point, though, is that despite your efforts, it could be that the elevator doesn't work, or that your phone doesn't work, or that the pen doesn't work, or that the light switch doesn't work. If this occurs, then try to accept that ultimately God's in control, and you've all had this experience that you're trying to turn on your computer frantically, and all of a sudden, oh, there she goes, sometimes at the right moment and sometimes not. So the idea here is to take a first step towards spiritual connection by recognizing that God is involved in day-to-day and ultimately in control of our affairs, and these are themes that we're going to be discussing over the next coming weeks. Okay, homework. So once each day, rely on God while you engage in a simple activity that we talked about. And that is exercise number 11. We have exercise 10, which is visualizing, this is from last week, from interpersonal connection, visualizing remaining connected to others. And exercise 9 from the week before, which is noticing the number of times that we disconnect from other people. And that is the homework, and that is session 11. And next time we're going to be moving on to session 12, which is about recognizing our limited scope of control.